From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. Thank you all for listening. And if you're not following us on Twitter, go check us out on Twitter at LockedOnChiefs.com on Twitter. And I am Chris Clark. I am the managing editor of LockedOnChiefs.com. Really appreciate all the insight that you've given us over the past couple of hours with the poll that we posted on the Locked On Chiefs Twitter account. If you haven't taken a chance to go answer that, go do that now.
Yeah, and I'm Ryan Tracy. You know me as the founder of Rogue Analytics, and we appreciate that feedback. And we're trying to make sure that we're covering the bases that you're looking for. We're going to keep it up with the news and the analysis. And I think we have a pretty unique sound. And I want to thank you all for checking out RGR Football on YouTube. It's been a great start over there. And I'm going to continue to do videos and try to blow those up some more, give some more visual to what we talk about here on the show. I know a lot of the people that have subscribed to the YouTube channel are listeners. So thank you very much and keep that going. It's RGR Football on YouTube. If you haven't found it, there'll be a link in the show notes.
And once again, thank you all for the ratings and reviews on iTunes. We really do appreciate those. We're getting really close to hitting a little bit of a milestone for us, and we will get back to talking about those later. But thank you again for all those ratings and reviews.
Man, I'm excited. I'm starting to go through film on all the new draft picks, and clearly I have the athleticism marks, and I've shared those on Twitter for those of you that haven't had a chance to see them. I'll try to link them here. I'll also put them in some of the new videos, and we'll refer back to that on the show, but couple of guys that have some uniqueness to them in terms of filling some of the gaps on this roster.
Absolutely. And it's going to be very interesting. They still haven't announced it yet. The Chiefs did release three players on Tuesday. And I think that leaves them 10 open spots, according to Matt Derrick, I believe, for UDFAs. We know a couple of them. Chase Litton is going to be one of them, which I think is a great pickup. I think he could compete and maybe take McGloin's third QB spot.
I thought he was draftable, so I'm clearly biased on that one.
Eric Berry's younger brother, Elliot Berry, is another one. He's a linebacker safety tweener, so we'll see on that. But if he is anything like the passion and the knowledge that his brother does, Daniel Sorensen really might be looking for a new job pretty soon.
I mean, all things,
especially with Dorian and Daniel, but
yeah, I mean, clearly that's the guy that is in a position to be an asset. And I think probably the number one thing working against Sorensen is his contract, but,
you have Pringle too. That was another UDFA that I think could, turn into something.
True. Yeah. I like what he brings. I just want to go back to the young Berry as well. Evan signed elsewhere in the league. Elliot's here, and
Evan's in Cleveland.
Right. John Dorsey took him. Yeah, and why wouldn't you? Right, give him a look. I think Evan had a little bit more punt return in college. I think maybe he was a little more approachable at, prospect because of that. I thought Elliot played. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you bring that up, I have to ask the question. And I don't know the answer to this. So I'm curious your position, and I'm still trying to formulate mine. What are the chances that they keep Tyreek on punt returns going forward?
Man, I hope they don't. I mean, I know he's explosive and it's tough, and I save it for situations when you really need it maybe because he's so good at it. But, man, right. he is the focus of your offense. He is your deep threat. He is your number one receiver.
I'm just saying, but they have Watkins now, so it's not like they don't have another explosive guy.
I know.
That's one thing that I loved about the Watkins pickup is I think it allows them to do more things and have a backup in that regard. Yeah, and I see somebody else like Tyreek Hill.
I see your point, but I think the best thing for Watkins and Tyreek Hill is having the other guy healthy.
Oh, no, absolutely.
So, like – You have Dad. You brought him back for a reason. You have Akeem Hunt. He's made returns before. This rookie Tremont Smith. I think it's Tremont. We haven't seen him introduced yet. I haven't heard his name pronounced. So I apologize if I'm messing that up because, you know, I'm not great with pronunciations.
And he can't spell already, so.
But he's fast, and he's got punt return ability. So, like, that's kind of built in there. So I think there are other options that can probably get the job done without having to put that extra load on Tyreek, and you can kind of hold him back until you really need him to pop something.
Yep.
Or, you know, score on Dallas when it's a Hail Mary.
Well, but that wasn't a punt return. But, yeah, you know, the other side of it is maybe you can use him as a decoy type, because if you think about it, how many teams are really going to punt at him anymore?
Nobody's smart.
So I think that could really play to their advantage.
Yeah, we'll and that's a fair point.
We'll see.
Well, and you know, just I want to do this real quick, and I don't mean to hijack what you had planned, but I just want to point out that the Chiefs hired Mike Bradway over from the Eagles scouting report. And Eagles scouting report, scouting staff, taking a guy that Andy knows, that Brett Veach knows. But the point is, I heard it through Therese Paylor. It's the first thing that I saw. That's the way that I found out. And all kudos aside, Therese got his job at Yahoo Sports. He's going to be a senior NFL writer. He's not going to be covering a beat anymore. He's going to cover the entire league. And I think that's great for the league. I think it's bad for Kansas City.
Horribly.
Because there's no way to replace him.
Nope.
And I think that's something that we should recognize. And we've had Therese on the show, and I've talked to him briefly since his announcement. And we're going to try to get him on before he gets too deep into Yahoo. But we're also maybe a little more open to having him on more because he's not going to be doing a podcast for the Star any longer. So keep your eyes peeled for that. And, you know, there are other things that are changing in the Kansas City market. There's going to be some announcements in the next couple of days. So keep your eye out for that. And things are going to change for this show, too, depending on who's where. I mean, who's the new Chiefs beat reporter? When we find out, you know, we're going to work in conglomeration to have as many voices on this show, just as we always have. But I think we're going to be expanding some.
Yeah, and we also are going to have some new writers on the website and might have some new contributions coming from people there as well. Got some really new talented people that are going to be joining us very shortly, so looking forward to that.
And we will have announcements for you whenever we add to our staff, some great stuff coming. I just wanted to get that out for Therese because it's a day that we all have to pay more attention and talk to each other more because we're not going to have Therese around as much.
No, absolutely. Therese is fantastic. He's one of the best beat reporters I've seen out there. It is a huge loss to the Kansas City market to lose him. So, no, I completely agree. And you didn't hijack anything. That definitely needed to be said.
Now, back looking at the prospects. And, you know, Seth's going to be on with us tomorrow. I know it's been a little bit, but so you guys will get a dose of Seth tomorrow. And we're going to talk about the guys that are going to get on the field right away, or at least the ones that I feel are going to. We'll see what Seth thinks. But when we look farther down the line, you know, I'm very interested. And maybe I'm overdoing it because, you know, every now and then I get to put my fan hat on. I don't do it a whole lot, but, you know, sometimes I like to. And I am just extremely intrigued by Khalil McKenzie. The guys, I mean, literally, they're like, you know, rubber trees from the Amazon.
His legs are tree trunks.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And I'm just like, wow. And you know how I've harped on the left guard spot all offseason. So, you know, you have Whitman, the incumbent. Okay, fair enough. I think we've talked about it on the show before. Not a terrible player, but not a remarkable player. Just steady, a little below average in my opinion. He's not going to completely crush this offense like we've seen some guards in the past, but he's not doing anything to really help it excel. So you have him. You have Parker Ehinger a year removed from being able to move around and hopefully having repaired his knee, recovered from his knee injury enough that he's viable to compete. I don't know how you feel about him right now, but I'm hopeful for it.
it's going to be very interesting to watch Khalil McKenzie. He definitely comes from the right family.
There was something to say for legacy, right?
Yeah, definitely something to say for legacy when it comes to NFL players.
And I think probably the wild card in that whole competition for left guard is Cam Irving, because I said it the day that they traded for him that he's a guard, yet they continue to stick him at tackle when he'd proven he can't play there. And now all of a sudden they've come around a year later that, oh, hey, maybe we're going to try him a guard again.
Okay, let's be fair. I really think that part of that was they're not going to try to teach him guard in a new system when he's been playing tackle during the season.
And that's fair.
I think it was more of that than it really was he wasn't going to be a center or a guard.
But, okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's the black horse right now, candidate for it.
Yeah, I have to think so. And I think this is going to be a really interesting camp just because those four guys competing not only for one starting spot, but probably the inside angle on being the interior backup guy. They can play guard to guard and get it done. Irving does have experience playing center, so maybe that gives him a leg up on doing the Zach Fulton thing.
I think he will be the Zach Fulton thing. What I will say is if you expect McKenzie to compete this year, I think you're off base.
Okay.
I think he's going to be at least a two-year guy. I could be wrong, but he hasn't played offense for 2 years. Or no, 4 years.
Sorry. Honestly, that's the thing that intrigues me the most. He's literally been beating up offensive linemen for the last 4 years, playing defensive tackle, and now he's got to go crunch on them from a left guard spot. And that's just my guess. Maybe they're just going to say, hey, back up LDT and learn, and maybe you're absolutely right. But that nasty mentality of playing defense, coming over to this offensive line that I think is still way more finesse than nasty, I think that's a huge addition.
No, I'm not saying it's not a huge addition, both literally and figuratively. I'm just saying I don't think that he's going to be a guy that's really going to compete for a position this year. I think really it's going to be a two-man race because I think that they view Irving as going to be the backup role. So I think it's going to be a two-man race between Witzman and Reiner, but that's me.
Okay.
And if Irving's able to play, great. I mean, that's even better because – you know, Witzman can back up guard and tackle. You can slide Irving over to center if something happens to Mitch Morse. That's really the only problem you're going to have if on the offensive line is you don't really have a backup center if Irving's starting.
I'm with you. And it makes perfect sense. Why don't we pay some bills? Let's take a second, and when we come back, we'll talk about the defense. And yes, because of all these draft picks being on defense, we're going to talk about the defense a lot. Now, the number one thing that I think the Chiefs have done...
To be fair, though, you like talking about defense anyway, so, I mean, it's not surprising you want to talk about it, unless we're going to talk about Anthony Sherman.
If Anthony Sherman could just play defense, I'd be, like, done.
Yeah.
Which, by the way,
and we never have a podcast because nobody's going to want to listen to that. But
well, okay, me droning on about that. But I don't know if y'all saw it on Twitter or the announcement. I think the Chiefs put out a press release as well. I'll double check that and retweet it if I can. Anthony Sherman's actually going to drive the pace car at the Kansas 400.
Yeah, I did see that.
I think that's pretty great.
Cool. Yeah, that's cool.
I think he's going to break the steering wheel myself, but I think that's great that he's doing it.
Oh, that's funny. No, that is awesome that he's doing that, that he's being asked to do that. And I know we don't talk about players on Twitter very much. Go ahead and talk about Anthony Sherman and the – what is it, Indianapolis 400?
No, it's the Kansas 400.
Or Kansas 400, sorry.
Right where K7 ends up on 70.
Yeah. That's going to be him doing that. I can't imagine. How's he going to fit in the car?
That's a good question. Do they make a fire suit that's going to fit that dude? It's got to be overalls, right?
You would think. Okay, so I'm going to change the subject a little bit. I know we don't talk about players on Twitter very much, but I have to bring this up. It was funny because Travis Kelce tweeted out, "Thanks, Players Tribune and Snickers, for letting me tell the story about the time I threw my first NFL pass and my last."
Oh, we got to link this up in the show notes.
Yes. And Cheetah, or Tyreek Hill, responded and said, "I think I need one more try."
I'm not done.
I'm not done.
Oh, sorry.
No, RQB, my QB, responded and quote tweeted both the Cheetah. Well, actually, I guess he just quote tweeted Kelce, but he added the Cheetah because the Cheetah had already said what he said. "It was nice. It was a nice try, but you and Cheetah should just stick to catching the ball."
I got this covered. Good for Pat Mahomes. Don't let him get away with anything.
And then fans in the comments said that Stone Cold Jones should have a chance.
Oh, you know, Chris is going to drive for that until the day he gets to throw a pass. Oh, and if that day comes,
the problem
I'm
going
to be in tears.
The problem is they gave Don Terry Poe a chance to do that. So
I know, right? You set the precedent, and this is what you get.
They opened up the door for it.
Yeah, right.
But no, I had to mention that because I saw it and I laughed out loud when I saw it. I was like, "Oh, that's phenomenal."
It really is.
And you know, the players are just having fun, hearing that kind of stuff from each other. I mean, you know that they're just loving it and eating it up. So, glad to see they're already all getting along, and big weekend coming up. Actually, minicamp starts this weekend.
Yeah, you know, you're going to see the rookies in there, and like we were talking about earlier,
a
couple of those could get signed, including Eric Berry's little brother. So I think that's great. I think, you know, there's a lot of question marks, and I don't want to just refer to Tremont Smith as a kick returner.
Let me ask you a different question. Sorry.
Okay.
I have a different question about the minicamp for you. Mm-hmm.
Shoot.
Is there any position on the roster that they could actually have a guy have huge contributions coming from?
Corner.
That'd be about corner the only one safety. I would think.
Yeah, I mean, these are two needs that they had going in the draft that they decided not to address or barely address. And I'm going to – from everything that I've seen, I mean, Matt Miller, a number of national scouts – put out little tidbits about Tremont Smith before the draft, as one of the, you know, the sleepers to watch.
Yeah, didn't our buddy Matt say that it was one of his favorite sleepers?
Yeah, exactly. And from the little tiny bit, like I tried to look on there and I don't see Central Arkansas anywhere on YouTube. So that's what I was trying to get accomplished and I haven't seen it yet. But just literally from images, you see him attacking bigger receivers, and I think that's key. You know he has the testable speed, and that's something that obviously ties into the punt return ability, but it also is the one thing that they don't have in their cornerback group. Kendall Fuller is he's a very good corner. He might be a great corner. He's not a speed corner. David Amerson is a zone corner. Sorry, they're going to ask him to play press, but he's a zone corner. He's not that speedy. So I think that's an aspect.
Peters didn't have a lot of speed.
And that's my point is I think Tremont Smith is the one guy that they brought in to have that aspect to provide some of that.
I just was saying that I understand what you're saying, that they don't have a guy that really has that speed. All I'm really saying is that I think it's nice to have. It's not necessary.
You know, when I look at this group right now, you're right. It's not necessary, but it does shade the defense toward playing a bit more zone, a bit more cover two, split DBs. And, you know, I like what I've seen from Armani Watts. I haven't gone through the tape, but I like him coming downhill. And if he has some protection over the back, I think that's a good thing right now. Let me get through more of his film and we'll see what comes out. But the only question I have about him is his playing backward. playing deep and being the last line of defense. And we don't want to see what we saw in years past where magically somebody gets behind the corner and there's nobody there to help them. So I think the lack of speed of the corner group necessitates the safeties playing a little bit more split to begin with in the 2018 season. And we'll see if they can progress or not. But unless Armani Watts can play as well backward as he does forward, which he's great at, maybe that's going to be the surprise that's going to light this defense up.
No, and that's a fair assessment. I guess I'm just coming from the fact that there are ways to scheme around it. And you're right. I mean, it does kind of limit you in some regards. But I don't know that their cornerback group is ever going to be. I mean, that's the problem with corners in general, is that it's really hard, unless you're going to draft them real early, to have the height, the weight, the arm length, and the speed. I mean, those are highly coveted. So
yes, I agree with you. And there's one other guy that I'm going to keep my eye on. Let's take a quick second. When we get back, let's talk about him real quick. And I'm going to continue to beat the drum. Quentin Meeks signed in Jacksonville, arguably the best secondary in the NFL. There's no better place for him to land, in my opinion, where the Chiefs might still get a chance to pick him up as he's cut down just before the 53-man roster. I still think he has the length. You don't think he makes that roster?
I don't think there's any chance he gets cut.
Oh, okay. I see.
And I would also say the only way they're going to possibly get him is if they trade for him, because there's no way that he's going – I cannot imagine him playing a full preseason and making it to Kansas City where they would – have an opportunity to pick him up off the waiver wire.
Okay.
I could be wrong. I mean, well, everybody skipped him for the entire year, for the entire draft, which made no sense to either of us. So either there's something out there that we don't know, or they just didn't think it translates. But I think it translates, and I think he plays well in the preseason.
Well, I'm going to keep an eye on him, just so everybody knows. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
No way around it. You know, and we're going to talk with Seth about the day two guys tomorrow. So let's not go get into them. But I think what you found was they clearly gave this defense at least a dose of some of what it needed in terms of getting nasty, in terms of getting guys that have some edge to them. Not an edge, but have edge to them. The biggest question for me, and I want to know what yours is, but for me, the biggest question in the next couple of weeks is, can D Ford go or not?
I don't think that's the biggest question for me, because at this point, I don't care if he goes until training camp.
Okay.
OTAs isn't going to be a big deal to him. I actually would prefer if he doesn't go, just because, one, it's not going to be a big deal to him. He's been in the system long enough. He should know the defense. And two, it just gives all the young guys more reps.
Fair enough.
And especially when you're talking about converting a guy like Speaks to an OLB position, which I know you say they're not going to be able to do, but this is your opportunity to get more reps.
Well, and that's a fair point. And clearly they believe in that concept. They're putting him in the linebacker room, according to all reports. And that tells you the tale. If you are putting him in the linebacker room to learn that defense from the linebacker perspective, then that's what they want him to do. Whether he can pull that off or not, maybe I'm underestimating the guy. I've seen him rush from the linebacker spot, from a stand-up two-point stance, and I think he can do it. The pass rush from there is not my qualm about him. It's being able to do anything in coverage, because I didn't see him do that in college, like maybe two plays. And that's when they lined him up at a middle linebacker, of all things.
But we didn't really think D Ford could either.
D Ford has made a couple of splash plays.
Well, it hasn't been consistent. I'm just saying that we didn't think that he could either. So yeah,
and that's fair.
It's time to give him – at this point, you just have to give him the opportunity. If he can't do it, he can't do it. But it's also possible that the Chiefs are planning – you know, we talked about this with Matt Derrick. They could be planning to have a completely different type of defense. I have no idea how they're going to change that. Yeah.
Man. And, you know, I've just barely scratched the film on Breland Speaks, and I'm going to continue that. But before we wrap up, I want to let everybody know, if there's any of you – that are going to be in Los Angeles next week, let me know. I'm going to be in town for a week doing a couple of things for my day job. And if there's any meetups or anything, I'd love to meet some Chiefs fans out there. If not, you know, I'm just going to sit in my hotel room and watch film. So that'll be what it is.
Well, that sounds exciting.
Yeah, right? Sounds kind of lonely and sad. Anyway, so thanks for listening to us today. Thanks for everything you guys have done for us. We're going to continue to get better and adapt to what y'all are looking for. I think – right. I'll have a video up probably for next week, and then I'm going to be out probably the week after that. So it's not going to be quite as consistent probably till we hit training camp. So keep an eye out for that. Thanks for listening today. Keep your questions coming on Twitter, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.